The sermon for this Sunday is part two of last Sunday. Claim your call. You know, it's part two. Claim your call, part two. Last Sunday, I talked about the importance of going outward. And you know, this over the year, we faced a pandemic. You know, there's politics. We saw injustice. There's a lot of fear. And all those things have made the church go inward, And the church needs to fight this. We need to embrace our call to be witness. And a call to be a witness is the church going outward. When we say we're called to be a witness, it's about the church going outward. It is a call to testify about Jesus. It is a call to love. It is a call to disciple. It is a call to be a light. When we say, you know, I have a calling, you know, it's different from, you know, I have a calling to lead worship. Those are very important. But a call, you know, to witness is a call that we all have. You know, we all have. In John chapter 4, you know, it was about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. You know, there was a tension and conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans for hundreds of years. And in that time of Jesus, in that time, as Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, there was a cultural, there was ethnic, political, and religious conflict and prejudice between the two groups. The Jews were not to associate with the Samaritans, but Jesus reached out to a Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman, you know, through that witness of Jesus, put her faith in Jesus. And right away, the Samaritan woman became a witness to the people in her town, right away. And the Bible says many of the Samaritans from that town believed because of the witness of the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman, we see a little background, you know, as she relates with Jesus, that she has five failed marriages. She had a broken past. There was probably shame and rejection and disappointment in her life. You know, she was probably looked down upon by her townspeople. But the moment that she receives Jesus, she goes out of herself and she became a witness to her townspeople about Jesus. And I was kind of thinking back to when I was saved, when I first became a Christian in high school. I was a senior in high school. Even though I was a new believer, the truth that God loved me and died for my sin, I couldn't contain it. You know, I didn't know the Bible well. I just became a Christian, and I started to be a witness to the people around me. It was very natural, you know, when I first became a Christian. I was a witness to my family, my friends, my church, and the people and fellow students in the school. But what I realized over time, as I became a Christian, you know, longer and longer over time, the enemy made being a witness not natural anymore. You know, started lying to me, and said that you're not ready to talk about Jesus to people. You don't know enough. You're not smart enough. You're not holy enough. You're not spiritually mature enough. And being a witness, but what I want to share with you, being a witness is not about how much you know. It's not about your ability. It's not about your IQ. But I believe it is a call to all believers everywhere, at every time, at every point in history. Why? You know, and I have two points. Because being a witness is different from doing ministry, okay? Being a witness. Being a witness is a call to faith, okay? Being a witness is a call to faith. and a call to faith. It doesn't matter what you do in ministry, okay? It's a call for all believers, all believer, to be faithful, to live a life of faith. It's a call to all believers. And the New Testament church, when it, you know, when it comes to being a witness, they had a lot of faith. When you look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, the members of the New Testament church believed, they had this faith that they can reach their community, even though they just became a Christian. They believed that they can reach the community and the world around them. Even as new believers, all the believers were involved in reaching people outside of the church. This is the reason the book of Acts says every day there were new believers being added to the church. Every day. A lot of people don't have faith when it comes to being a witness. You know, we say to ourselves, you know, I can't do it. Only few can do it. It's a job of the church pastor, but not my job. Or I don't have the gift to witness. Instead of faith, people have the wrong mindset or belief system when it comes to being a witness. You know, oh, you know, I'm just going to get rejected. It's not going to work. You know, I'm going to fail. You know, I am on my own. God's not going to help me. People don't want to hear the gospel. People don't want to hear about Jesus. You know, but no, it's not. That's we need to have faith when we, as our call to be a witness. We have faith in other things. We know how to have faith. You know, some of you might buy a lotto ticket and you have a lot of faith in that lotto ticket the moment you buy it. You believe this is going to be the winner. Even though you haven't won in like 10 years of buying lotto ticket every day. Right? We know how to put faith in education. We know how to put faith in money. We know how to put faith in our family. We know how to put faith in ourselves. But when it comes to reaching our community, making disciples, sharing the gospel, loving people with God's love, God says, put your faith in me. When it comes to reaching the world, you know, Jesus, you know what he did? It's called the Great Commission. And he put the Great Commission in all the gospel and in the book of Acts. You know why? It's because Jesus wants us to not forget. He wants us to believe. He wants us to obey. And he wants to have faith when it comes to being a witness. In Matthew 28, it says, then Jesus came to them, to his disciples, and says, all authority in heaven and earth has been handed over to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So not just Matthew, he put it in the book of Mark. And he said to them, again, to his disciple, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. In the book of Luke 24, he says, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. To all nations. Because it is so important. It's even in the book of John. John chapter 20, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is the reason this is the theme of our church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness. You'll be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, when you look at Apostle Paul, he was called to be a witness in Acts chapter 22, verse 15. It says to Paul, you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard, right? But if you take this, his calling, in the light of the Great Commission that all believers have, are called for, this is a call to all believers, not just Apostle Paul. In Apostle Paul, we see an example of a believer who had great faith in being a witness. You know, it wasn't years later, not when he understood Christianity better, not once he was more comfortable with his faith. But we see in the Bible, Paul went out and shared the gospel right after he became a believer. He was a witness. When God called Moses through the burning bush, Moses thought he wasn't ready. He had a lot of fear. You know, he cared about what others thought. He was fearful of the Pharaoh, that he said, nobody will listen to me. There was a lot of insecurity, inadequacy. He says, I can't talk. I'm not eloquent. I'm not talented. And he focused on his failure. And Moses thought he was not ready. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. The Lord thought Moses was ready. Even with all of Moses' fear, insecurity, inadequacy, and failure, the Lord was willing to work with Moses with all his failings. Being a witness is not about how much you know. It's not about your ability, your IQ. But I believe it is a call. It's a call to all believers. It's a call to faith. It applies to all believers everywhere at every time. At every point in history. And I want to go to the second point. Being a witness is a call to all believers because it's a call to faith, right? And number two is being a witness is a call to all believers because it's a call to love. It's a call to love. You know, call to love should not depend on your personality. It doesn't matter if you're introvert or extrovert. It does not depend on your intelligence or your talents. It does not depend on your financial status, your background, your ethnicity, what job you have, or where you live. A call to love is a call to all believers. All believers. Being a witness means, you know, as a Christian, you got touched by the love of God. And the love of God overflows from you and touches the people around you. It touches your family, your church community, community outside of the church, this city that we live in, this nation, and the world. You know, I did missions work. And what I, you know, one thing about missions is there are many barriers. There are many barriers. There's language barrier. That's so difficult. Language, you know. There's cultural difference, there's different worldview. Even food is a barrier. I remember I took a team to Nepal for 1 month. You know, first day they had curry. They loved it, first day. This is great, you know. Then you had chili every day, lunch and dinner, lunch and dinner, lunch and dinner, 1 week, 2 weeks. By the third week, they could not take it. They couldn't take it. In Africa, you know, the biggest issue I had when I was in Africa was their view of time. You know, we'll start at 6 p.m. They will come at 7 or 8 p.m., you know. Their view of time, and it was hard. But what I realized about missionaries, you know, when they know how to love, you know, what happens is they become like them. There was this one Korean-American missionary in Kenya, and he lived with the people. He ate with the people. Okay? And he learned the language through the people. And then there was a revival meeting, and he gave this message. Here's this Korean-American missionary speaking to all Kenyans. It was all Kenyans. And he says, we Kenyans need to reach Tanzania. We Kenyans need to reach Uganda, Somalia. We Kenyans need to reach Africa for the Lord. And because this missionary, they knew his the love that he had for them. They were going, yes, we Kenyan need to do that. He identified himself as a Kenyan, not as a Korean American, because of his love for the people there. When I was in Mozambique, Heidi Baker, you know, she speaks Cantonese, she speaks Spanish, she speaks Portuguese, she speaks few of the tribal languages in Mozambique. Not because she took different language classes, it's because she spent so much time, she loved the people there. And she would spend time with the people, and that's how she learned the language. You know, Jesus, he humbled himself and became a human being, and he lived among them. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. You know what I notice about this kind of love, okay? And one of the reasons, you know, it's hard to show this kind of love as a witness, being a witness, is because this kind of love is inconvenient. One reason we can't love as a witness is because we're just too busy. We have hundreds of things to do each day, and love is inconvenient. We don't have time to love. You know, a Big Mac, it takes a minute to make. But love, being that witness, being a witness type of love, takes time, meaning it is inconvenient. It is inconvenient. If you choose to love, sometime your schedule will get messed up. You have to be willing to be interrupted if you choose to love as a witness. And you look at the parable of the Good Samaritans in Luke chapter 10, you know, the Samaritan helped this Jewish man who was beat up, mugged. And the Samaritan was from a different culture. There was tension between the Jews and the Samaritans for hundreds of years. And the love that the Samaritan man showed was very inconvenient. He had to bandage the wound. He poured out oil and wine that was his own food. He put the man on his own donkey. That means the Samaritan walked. And he brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, the Bible says, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper to take care of the Jewish man. It was a two months' wages. And he says, if the bill was higher when he returned, he says, I will reimburse you that extra expense. This kind of love is very inconvenient. It's inconvenient. You know, when I was in seminary, I worked as a Korean church up in North Jersey, and they called me to be the college pastor, the English congregation pastor. But when I got there, they said that they needed help with the elementary too, right? They needed help with the elementary. So they asked me to take over the elementary and do also the English congregation for 1 month, they said. Elementary just for 1 month. And I believed them, you know, I believed it. And to let you know, it wasn't 1 month, it was 4 years that I had to do the elementary and English congregation. I did for 4 years. And when I first went to the elementary, again, I was thinking I'm just going to be here for 1 month. You know, I didn't even memorize their name, you know, because I'm not going to be there for long. And I had the English congregation worship leader help out, and we didn't sing any kids' song. I didn't care. You know, I didn't know any kids' song. I'm not going to learn any kids' song, you know, and we just sang the songs that we would sing in the college group, you know, with kindergarten to sixth grade kids. Yeah. But, you know, it went for 1 month, then another month, then another month. And what happened was my heart started to open for those little kids. And I started to love them, you know. And, you know, I closed my heart to them, but then my heart opened because, you know, it was going longer and longer. you know, when they first came in, can you imagine, you know, I would give them hugs, each one of them, as they came into worship. I gave them hugs, you know, and I learned how to preach in their level. In their level. First month, I didn't care. I would talk about theology, you know, I didn't care. And then I started to learn how to preach on their level. And what happened over time is one by one, they accepted Jesus. Even the kindergarten children, they accepted Jesus. Yeah. I was at a conference. I was teaching a bunch of youth pastors at this conference. I asked this just simple question, Do you get excited to see your church members? Do you get excited, you know, on a Saturday night? Do you get excited about worship service next day with your youth group? And, you know, or, you know, you go, oh, no, tomorrow's Sunday. I got to, you know, preach on Sunday. Oh, man, those youth group, they're so hard-hearted. You know, they don't pay attention. Is that your heart as a youth pastor? Right? If you do, if that's your attitude, that's your heart, right? Then you don't love your youth group. Right? You're not being a shepherd. You are a higher hand. The reason I share that is Catalyst Church. The reason I share that is because I still get excited seeing you. I do. Right? I look forward to seeing you. Yeah, I look forward to it. Of course, it's tiring, but I still, in my heart, I look forward to it, you know. If I stop looking forward to seeing you, I need to quit. I need to quit. Yeah. And so, when you come to Catalyst, you know, I hope what motivates you to come here is not, you know, join together on Zoom or in person. It's not the program. It's not convenience. It's not comfort. It's not the facility. I hope you come because you have a desire to love more. Okay? It's not, and it's a call. It's a call to love. But that love is not easy. You have to overcome the inconvenience of it. But we are called to be a witness, and it's a call to love. I want you to say from your heart, I want to love my family more. Say that. I want to love, proclaim that. I want to love my children more. I want to love my spouse more. Over the church, I want to love my church family more. But this is being a witness. You see, the love doesn't stop if you choose to be a witness. I want to love this community more with the love of God. I want to love this country more. This nation more. I want to love this world more. And if you could just start proclaiming, I want to love you, God, more. See, when you have a heart, you know, you got, again, this is my challenge. You have a call to be a witness. And what is that call? It's a call to live by faith. And it's a call to love. And so as a congregation says, yes, God, I take that challenge. I take that call to live by faith and to love more. Okay, let's just continue to pray. Pray more. One of the, I see this in my own heart, you know, when I go more inward, So many little things are bothering me. Littlest thing. But let's go outward. Right? And see, when you start going outward, you start to see things you never saw before. You start to see greater things. You start to see God. If you could dedicate yourself to walk out the calling of being a witness. I am a witness. I am called to be a witness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Look at tomorrow, you look at Tuesday, you know, Wednesday, and we look at all the things that we have to do. We have to look at, we look at all the things that's not working. We look at all the things that's broken. Okay, don't do that. Just say, I'm called to love. I'm going to love. And that's, the Holy Spirit's going to use that desire to motivate you. All the other things depresses you. All the other things cause you anxiety. All those things, other things. No, no, I'm going to love and I'm going to walk in faith. Who can I love, Lord, tomorrow? Who can I love that's around me, God? And I'm going to work on not what I can't do, you know, my failure, but I'm going to have faith that you will use me, oh God. I'm going to believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And just open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit. You're not called to, you know, walk alone in this world. You're supposed to walk with God. And may the love of the Heavenly Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit won't be just something that you read about or hope for, but that it will touch you from head to toe. It will touch your heart, touch your soul, your mind, your emotion, your body. And it will flow out of you. It will flow as a river. Thank you, God. Thank you. And God's people said, amen.